And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Father, thank you for your presence. Lord, I just pray that today, God, that you would just minister and speak to every heart. Father, you and you alone know where every individual stands in this house and those that are watching. And God, I pray that today, Lord, if there be those that are here that are lost, or those that are watching that are lost, or Father, maybe they once had a relationship with you, but God, they have strayed away from you. I pray today that, God, that they would return from their backslidden condition, and that they would come back to a relationship with you. And, Father, we'll praise you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I remember many years ago, as a 15-year-old teenager, anxiously awaiting for December the 10th, 1979, to arrive. It would be on that date that I would be at the legal age to obtain my driver's permit, and later my driver's license. Months before that date arrived, I went to obtain my driver's manual to study for my permit. And I remember studying to obtain the knowledge that I needed to successfully pass that written test to get my permit. Part of the written test was on road signs and what each sign represented. Some of those signs were warning signs. On that day that I went and tested for my written permit exam, I passed by knowing those signs. A few months later, after much practice, driving with a licensed driver, which was my grandfather, I would successfully pass the road test to acquire my driver's license. It has been 45 years since I obtained those licenses. The speed limits have changed. Some of the technology in vehicles have changed to kind of warn you if you are coming upon dangerous situations. But the warning signs that I studied when I was 15 years old to obtain my permit and later my license still remains the same. In God's word, there are many warning signs that have been given by our Heavenly Father. Those signs are to protect us and to keep us from going on a dangerous path or destruction. However, it is left up to us what decision we choose to make. I want us this morning to look at the warning signs of backsliding. A time that we look and we see today that Jesus Christ is so close to coming again, that people are falling by the wayside and leaving a relationship with Christ. Now, I want us to ask ourselves a question this morning. Are we really watching and looking for the coming of Jesus Christ? Do we believe that today could be the day that he comes again? Or have we got so accustomed to the world that we believe that it will only come down the road, but not in our lifetime? The Word of God reads that in the hour that you thinketh not, the Son of Man will come again. And with all of that going on, people are throwing in the towel on the relationship with God. For every young person and every adult that is here today, it's not a time to throw in the towel on our relationship with God. But yet it is more of a sign that we need to get closer to God instead of farther away from God. The warning signs of backsliding are many, but today I just want to touch just on a few to show us the warning signs that we may be on the pathway of backsliding. Number one, the first warning sign is backsliding is we fail to pray. Prayer is no longer a key or necessity in our life, we think. We can pray if we want to, or if we don't want to pray, we don't have to pray. Some people believe that as long as they pray on Sunday morning, that's the only prayer life that they need. But friend, let me tell you, this is just the place that we come to get our battery charged up to go out into the world for the rest of the week. But it can't just be here. Every day we have to be in our prayer closet praying and seeking the face of God. The first book, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, the second shortest verse in the Bible. Number one, how many knows what the number one is? Jesus wept. Very good. Secondly, the second one is pray without ceasing. In other words, don't stop praying. I have found that many times people will only pray if their life is facing adversity. But I also believe this. Many times I believe that adversity could be brought on because we have failed to pray. We haven't listened to the warning signs that God is giving us to pray and to get closer to Him for the things that was going to come our way and that we were going to face. Paul, in writing in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, he said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer is the first tool that God gives us in our spiritual toolbox to survive in this world. You say, well, now, Pastor Greg, shouldn't the Word of God be the number one tool? You can't understand the Word of God if you haven't prayed for God to give you the understanding of God's Word. Does that make sense? I remember when I first got saved, how that I would pray and I would say, God, let your scriptures be opened up and enlighten them, that God, that I could receive understanding and knowledge of what you're trying to speak to me. God's Word is filled with all different types of mysteries. Some of them will be revealed here. Some will be revealed in glory. Some will never be revealed. But God gives us signs to follow to make sure that we stay on the right path. But we can never be able to figure that out if we don't spend time with God in prayer. In 30-some years, close to 40 years now in the ministry, I've talked to people that have used to have a relationship with God. And they straight away, they backslid. I just would ask them, what do you think was the number one thing that caused you to leave your relationship with God? And that was this: I quit praying. Prayer is a necessity. We've got to pray. That's where we talk to our Father, and our Heavenly Father talks to us. It's there that God speaks to us, and He lets us know how much He cares for us, and He loves us, and He's there for us. Amen? God's just not there when everything is going good, but God's there in your life when it seems like that your world is falling apart. God is still there. And when we quit praying, that's the first warning sign that we're on the road to backsliding. Secondly, the second warning sign of backsliding is you have a poor spiritual appetite. Do you know that if you get to where the only thing you eat is junk food, it will destroy your physical body? It doesn't matter if it's fat-free, sugar-free, all the freeze. If we don't have a right appetite physically, it destroys our body. You said, how do you know? Because I've got a zipper in my chest. From 2012, where I had quadruple bypass surgery. Well, that just happened. No, it's because I didn't take care of my body. Amen? And it's the same way with our spiritual body. We have to have a good spiritual appetite. The Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. James chapter 6 verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We cannot, and hear me and hear me well today, please, we cannot live on feelings, past blessings, or our heritage. Amen? Pentecostals are the worst for this. We believe that as long as we have those Holy Spirit chicken bumps, that everything's all right with us and God. Can I tell you, there's been many people that have sat on church pews, and they have felt those Holy Spirit chicken bumps backslide on God. Why? Because they base their relationship with God on feelings. Feelings is not always going to be there. There's going to be times that you're going to get up on Sunday morning, come to church, have a move of God, but by Sunday afternoon, the devil done smacked you three times before you got back home. And you don't feel what you felt on Sunday morning. Monday morning rolls around. The alarm clock goes off. You beat the alarm clock. Then you get up. You get dressed. The dog's barking. The cat is scratching. Telephone's ringing. You're getting text messages and emails, and all of a sudden somebody's knocking on the door with bad news, and you're saying, can I just go back to Sunday morning? I don't feel what I felt yesterday. But you see, friend, my relationship with God is not based on my feelings. My relationship with God is based upon faith in Him. My relationship is based upon there are going to be days that I feel Him, but there's going to be days that I don't feel Him. There are going to be times that I've got a shout on my heart, but there are going to be other times that I'm going to feel like that I'm all alone under the tree somewhere and saying, God, where are you? Psalms chapter 23, we read that. David writing said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The next chapter over, he's reading, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How many times have we been like David? God, I feel you. I'm on this mountaintop. Nothing can tear me down. The devil says, all right, let's just see about that. I remember the man by the name of Job that was blessed. The devil came to God and said, I can't do anything to him because you've got all this protection upon him. He said, go ahead, but you can't touch his soul. Job started losing property, cattle, got sick. His life was falling apart. Those that was the closest to him who should have been supporting him instead said, why don't you just curse God and die? But thank God Job had a good spiritual appetite. He had been feasting on the spiritual manna of God. He had been feasting upon what God had done for him yesterday, what God had done for him last year, what God had promised him. And Job looked at those people and he said, thou talk as foolish people. For the same God that is here today and has been with me in the past will be with me tomorrow. Can I tell you, there may be times that it may appear like you've lost everything. There may be times that you don't feel God. Maybe it's been a long time. Some of you may be here today or you may be watching and you're saying, I haven't felt his touch or his presence the way that I used to for a long time. But friend, I'm here to tell you the same God that was there yesterday is the same God that will be here today. He's the same God that will be with you tomorrow. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you to the very ends of the world. Somebody give him praise in the house this morning. When the enemy came and was tempting the Lord, Jesus didn't rebuke him, and the enemy didn't flee because he said, you can't bother me. I'm the Son of God. The enemy had to leave when he said, devil, it is written. And he began to quote scriptures. Oh, I feel this morning. Some of you that are here, some of you that are watching, you've been trying to fight the devil by saying, well, you can't do that. I'm a child of God. You can't do that because of this. But friend, what God wants you to know, you cannot fight the devil upon your past experiences. You've got to quote the divine word of God. Who is the word? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Get a hold of the word. Get a good spiritual appetite. Get to the place where you study God's word. Get to the place where you know God's word. Get to the place that you are sensitive to the voice of God. And you know that when God speaks that word, that it is God. Because the word of God says, my sheep know my voice and will follow no other. So the first warning sign of backsliding is we fail to pray. Secondly, we have a poor spiritual appetite. But thirdly, we have a form of godliness. Oh, I could really preach there for a long time. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We need the power of God. Thank God for one of you. We need the power of God. That's about 25% of you. We need the power of God. Amen. Amen. Because without the power of God, the enemy is going to rip us to pieces. We can't go through the motions. And I believe that is what a lot of churches are doing in the time we're living in. They're settling for junk and saying that it's a move of God? How do you know if it's not a move of God when it becomes entertainment? Oh, that doesn't sit well in the world we're living in today, in the spiritual world. We want to make people happy. I want to make them joyful. Because happiness is only temporal. But joy is eternal. He didn't say the happiness is my strength. But he said, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I believe that in the time that we are living in today, we are more interested in outward manifestation than we are of an inward manifestation. There is a difference. An outward manifestation could be wildfire. It could be a strange fire. The Bible talks about both. But then there is also a third fire, and it's the Holy Ghost fire. Amen? There is a difference. How can I know the difference if it brings confusion and chaos? It is a wildfire and a strange fire. I was pastoring down around Fort Knox, and I had a young minister that came and preached one Sunday morning, and then we had him back that Sunday night. And that Sunday night, he brought some friend of his to sit on the piano. And when he preached, he got worked up. You get the piano worked up. They called themselves thunder and lightning. I called it garbage. Amen? And he made a comment that Sunday night that I never will forget. He said, I would rather have wildfire than no fire at all. Wildfire destroys. Wildfire kills. But the Holy Ghost fire brings life. Amen? What did you do, Pastor Greg? He never preached for me again. Thunder or lightning. You see, I believe that there are too many times that we have people that are trying to work up emotions instead of worshiping God. I remember the church that I got saved in and called into the ministry, preached my first message there and preached several times after that particular time. That worship wasn't taught. Worship wasn't worked up. But many times it was just spontaneous worship. It wouldn't have to be the whole congregation. There may be times that somebody over here would just stand up in the middle of a message of preaching. Brother Morgan would be preaching, or whoever was preaching, and they would just begin to lift up their hands and worship God. And as a new convert, I began to observe and I began to watch that. And I would say, Lord, I don't understand. And I never will forget the Holy Spirit speaking to me. He said, just trust me. Just trust me. Yield yourself to me. Worship me. Love upon me. And it didn't take people on instruments or anybody else trying to work it up. People began to worship God. Y'all have heard me testify in messages that I've preached before, and I'll say it again. In an upstairs Sunday school room at 114 North Franklin Avenue in Winchester, Kentucky, in a new convert class, there was a lesson that was supposed to have been taught, but the teacher just walked in and said, how many wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We didn't all understand it. We were new converts. We just began to lift up our hands and say, we want to receive. About an hour before that, My alarm clock had gone off in my bedroom. I hit it, I turned it off, and the devil said, "Why don't you just stay home today? You're tired." About that time, God spoke to me, and he said, "Get up. Go to church. I've got something special for you today." And I got up, and I walked to church. I went into that upstairs Sunday school room without music, without anybody preaching, without anybody teaching. Worship began to take place from the true inward parts of some new converts. There in that upper room of that Sunday school section, the Holy Spirit began to descend and to fall upon every one of us that was there. Six of us, one been a Catholic boy that had been saved in a Perry Stone revival at that church about a month earlier. All of us were baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. When the bell rung for the Sunday school to be over, for everybody to go to the sanctuary, we were still worshiping God. We were still having a true Pentecostal moment with God. And the word spread to the sanctuary, and it went from that upper room Sunday school room to the sanctuary, and people began to worship God, and the power of God began to fall there. Why does it happen? Because people gets to the place where they say, "I don't want a form of godliness, but I want the power of God to move in my life, that I can know that I know that I know that in the deepest times of my heart, God is still God." What a God. You can have a form of godliness if you want and backslide. Or you can have the real, real Holy Spirit experience and see what God does in the midst of your heart. We want our young people to experience God. Then we need to be real as adults about God. They need to see us worshiping not just on Sunday morning, but all every day of the week. They need to hear us not just a testimony on Sunday morning, but a testimony all through the week. Yes, we're going to have hard times. Yes, there are going to be times we're going to get discouraged. We're humans. But don't allow where you are at to define your destiny. Don't allow your past to define your destiny. "Well, you don't understand, Pastor Greg. You don't know where you don't know where I've come through. You don't know where I've been." Don't allow that to determine your future. "Well, I grew up in a bad neighborhood." Oh, I did too. But I made up my mind in that neighborhood I wasn't going to be known as being a product of that neighborhood. When I got saved, people said, "Well, you're going to be a product of Pastor Morgan." And I love Brother Morgan, great man of God. But Brother Morgan wasn't my God. We've got too many people that are trying to put their trust and their confidence and build their Christian life upon people. God said, "You can't do that. People will fail you." Why? Because they're human. But God said, "Build your life on me." Looking unto Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of our faith. People will fail you. God will never fail you. People will lie to you. God never lies. Amen. People will turn their back on you. God will never turn his back on you. People will make it seem like that everything is hopeless, but God says, I am the God of hope. People will bring you chaos and confusion, but God said, but I'm the God of peace. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I'm going to go to my fourth point, and I'm going to close. Michelle, if you'll slip to the music. The fourth warning sign of a backslider is you have a lack of passion for the harvest. The book of Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But they that keep the law, happy are they. The Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 9 verse 36 and 38 says, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. St. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 41, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, everybody say, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Who is the harvest this morning? Well, Pastor Greg, it's every one of those that are lost. That wasn't made for people with big hands. That's the harvest. Harvest goes a whole lot further than that. Yes, the harvesters, those that are lost. But can I tell you, there are Christians today that are part of the harvest. They're hurting. They're hurting. There are those that are this morning are weighing their options. Am I going to stay in a relationship with God, or am I just going to walk away? Problems that I've got in my life are just too much for me. Some of them are listening to ministers and teachers that has a counterfeit message. The message they are giving them is try everything in the world and see if you can find peace and joy. If not, go get some counseling. Now hear me today. I have nothing wrong with people getting counseling, if it's the right counseling. But I believe that many times we stop talking to God and we start listening to the world. And the world is saying, well, try this. When all along God is simply saying, why don't you just start with me? Amen? Why don't you just start with me? I know that there are people with mental health issues. I testified and said it myself. I'm one of them. And I'm on medication. Aren't you ashamed of that? No. You mean you believe that it's okay for Christian people to be on medication? Yes. If it's been prescribed by a legit doctor, I have no problem with that. I believe that God gives doctors and medical staff the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding to be able to minister to people. But my first stop is with God. Because I'm going to be honest, not everybody has your best interest in mind. You've got even ministers that don't have your best interest in mind. You've got teachers that don't have your best interest in mind. Their interest is to make you happy. Once again, but God's interest is to give you joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I know that today that there are people that are hurting in society. There are people hurting in churches. And they need to know that God is a God of compassion. I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say this. What you are going through today is not your fault. The enemy wants to destroy you. Every young person, every adult that is here today, those that are watching, the devil wants to destroy you. You are facing things today that you are facing because of past things. But God simply says this, I can take your past and I can take your presence and I can take your future and I can bless your life and make it to the place that your past is just that. It's your past. Can I tell us something today? Jesus died not for your past, but for the present and your future. The Word of God says that today, what is today? It's the present. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to turn to Him. Today is the day to ask, to seek, and to knock. Today helps bring in the future. What is your future? For the child of God, one day the trump of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with those words. And I close with this. What is your relationship, your personal relationship with God like? I want to say this, and I say it with love and compassion. If we in the church world spend as much time taking care of our own spiritual being to make sure that we were godly people, we wouldn't have time to criticize those that are falling by the wayside and said they deserve what they are getting. By people saying that tells me they're not taking care of their own self. Because the Bible says when you see one falling, you go and you restore that one with the spirit of meekness. And not to condemn them, lest you consider yourself also to fall in the same thing that they have fallen into. I ask you today, for those that are watching, I ask you this morning, where do you really stand with God? Do you have just a form of godliness? Or are you walking the walk and talking the talk? Amen? If you're here today, or if you're watching this morning and you do not know the Lord, or maybe you have had a relationship and you've walked away from God, God didn't leave you, you left Him. Or maybe you're serving the Lord, but you're not where you used to be in your relationship with God. You say, well, one day I'll really commit more to God. And you're not guaranteed to get home today. You're not guaranteed tonight. But now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to get a made-up mind. Lord, I'm going to serve you. Lord, I'm going to live for you. Lord, I'm going to surrender everything about me to you. Lord, I want you to be truly my God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your presence. Lord, I feel your spirit here today in a special way, talking and speaking to people's lives here and those that are watching. God, as I said many times before, I never know where people stand with you. Only an individual and God knows where they stand. But Lord God, I have come this morning and I have shared from my heart and from your word. I've presented to them the problem that may be going on in their life. But God, not only did I show them and present to them the problem, I've presented and showed them the solution to their problem. And that answer is Jesus. I pray for every young person. I pray for every adult. That God, that today, that Lord, that they would look to you. That God, that they would be real with you. That they would be real to themselves. And Father, if they're not where they need to be at with you today, I pray that God, that they would cry out to you. And say, Lord God, forgive me. God, your word said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, there may be those that may be here or may be watching that have said, I've tried it and tried it and tried it so many times, but I have failed. God, let them realize today they can't do it on their own. They have to put their faith and their trust in you, God, in the times that Lord, they don't feel you. God, in the times that seems like that, God, that the harder they pray, the less they feel you. But God, let them remember that we are not saved by feeling, but we are saved by faith. Let them realize that we are not going to go through this life, Lord, feeling an outward manifestation. But God, there are going to be times that we're going to seem like we're on the backside of the desert. But God, your word said, I'll never leave you. I'll never fail you, but I'll go with you to the very end. And I pray today, Lord, for somebody today needs to hear that. That they may be going through a storm in their life, and it seems like that the world is falling apart, and the more they try, and the more that they pray, and the more that they try to commit to God, things just keep getting harder, and they just seem like they don't feel the presence of God like they used to. But Lord, I remember a book in the New Testament called Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. God, we may not see that miracle that we're looking for in our life, but God, by faith, we're going to accept it, we're going to believe it. Even when we don't feel it every day, God, we're going to keep believing. I know one day, God, I've never seen heaven, but by faith, I know one day, if I've gone by the way of death, one day I'm going to be in a grave. But when the trumpet of God sounds, those graves is going to give up the dead. Or Lord, maybe that I'll be alive and the trumpet of God sounds and the graves have already given up the dead. But Lord, you said, but yet those that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to be with the Lord. By faith, I'm believing, though I have never seen heaven, one day I will walk through those gates of pearl, walls of jasper, streets that have been made by transparent gold, where there is a river of life that is flowing. A place that, God, that there'll be no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. But one day, by faith, I'm going to take the hand of the Master. And He's going to lead me down those streets of glory. And I'll see loved ones that have gone on before me. I'll see friends that have gone on before me. But until then, I've got to hold on by faith. Somebody today in this house or is watching today, God has needed to hear that. By faith, I'm going to make it. Though all hell assail me, I'm going to make it. Though the floodwaters may try to overtake me, but I'm going to make it. Though I may be like Job and my life may seem like it's falling apart, but by faith, I'm going to make it. Because He said, I'll never leave you, Greg. I'll never forsake you. But I'll go with you to the very end. Father, this day, do the work that needs to be done. And I'm going to give you all the praise for it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the church is praying. I want us to be real. I want us to be real. You may be here this morning and you may say, Pastor Greg, I'm going through a time in my life. It makes no sense. It seems like that I can't sense God anywhere around me. But Pastor Greg, I'm going to accept the Word of God and what you have preached. And I'm going to say by faith, I'm determined I'm going to make it. Just lift up that hand to God this morning. God bless that one. Somebody else that may be here today saying, I'm just going to be determined that I'm going to make it. Anybody else? Probably there are those that are watching. There are probably those that are here today that didn't raise their hand, but I'm here to tell you. I feel so strong in my spirit to tell you, you can make it. You can make it. Not by holding on to the hands of the world, but by holding on to the hands of God. You can make it in the name of Jesus. Father, strengthen, touch, encourage. Lord, for those that have raised their hands, for those that maybe didn't, but God, there are things in their life that, God, they just need you to work it all out. For those that are watching, wherever they are watching from, I pray, God, lay your hand upon them. Lord, they may watch this service later on. But God, I want them to know God knows where they're at. God knows everything about them. God knows what they've been fighting. God knows the heartache that has been going on. God knows the burdens that they're carrying and the trials that they are facing. But God wants them to know, look unto Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of your faith. The enemy is out to destroy, to kill, and to steal. But Jesus Christ said, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I speak that into somebody's spirit today in the name of Jesus. The enemy has desired to sift you, but Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord. These altars are open this morning. If you want to come and you want to spend some time around these altars, these front pews praying, please come. Bring your needs to God. If you say, well, everything's great with me and God, come and pray. Because one day you're going to need that extra prayer that you're going to pray today. God's going to strengthen you in the times of your weary storms and bring your life more abundantly.